Good morning, all. We'll call the meeting to order. Our agenda is not particularly long today, but if people feel a great need to talk, we have reserved the room for tonight, and we could go over until tonight, too. But I'm going to guess that this is going to be one of our shorter hearing days. So it's up to you all what you want to do. With that, I have minutes from March 14th that need approving. Representative Long, would you move the minutes of March 14th?
Yes, Madam Chair, I will move the minutes.
Okay. Yes, we do. We do have a quorum, just in case folks. Okay, so Representative Long has moved the minutes of March 14th. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
In the opposition, the minutes are approved. We have the first bill, which is House File 2126, and I will move that it be laid over for possible inclusion. Representative Carlson is presenting the bill. Welcome to the committee, and let's hear about your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Madam Chair and members. It's a pleasure to be here today to present House File 2126. I'm carrying this bill on behalf of the Prairie Island Indian community. House File 2126 would appropriate $26 million from the Renewable Development Account for the Prairie Island Indian community to become a net zero emissions community. So that's a big deal. The bill requires that the state enter into a grant agreement with Prairie Island Indian community to develop an energy conservation plan and to construct the appropriate energy generation infrastructure to become net zero. The bill also contains oversight measures that include the state state monitoring the grant expenditures as Prairie Island Indian community is implementing the net zero program, examination authority of expenditures, and an annual progress report to the legislature and a final report upon completion of the project. With that, those are kind of my opening remarks. With me today, I have two amazing testifiers. I have Shelley Buck, Tribal Council President, will provide some brief testimony, as well as Blake Johnson, who will take us through a short PowerPoint. So with that, I'll turn it over to Shelley.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Shelley Buck, and I'm president of the Prairie Island Indian community. I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here. I'm here today to testify on behalf of my tribe in support of House File 2126, which appropriates $46 million from the Renewable Development Account to make Prairie Island a net zero energy user. This would make Prairie Island one of the first net zero tribes and a nation leader in renewable energy. To give the committee some background, our tribe's reservation is located just 600 yards from the Prairie Island, from the Excel's Prairie Island Nuclear Generating Plant. For those of you who may be golfers, that's a long par five. Context, 600 yards doesn't mean anything to me. Long par five, I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
We are the closest community in the nation to a nuclear power plant. Every day we bear the burden of this nation's failed nuclear waste disposal policy. In 1994, we forcefully and vocally opposed legislation to give Xcel the right to store nuclear waste in dry cask units adjacent to our community. Despite our strenuous opposition, this legislative authority for storage of the casks was enacted. Currently, there are 44 nuclear waste casks currently stored on the pad at the Prairie Island plant. As part of that 1994 legislation, the legislature established the Renewable Development Fund, which recently changed the Renewable Development Account, as a means to develop and implement renewable energy projects. Currently, Xcel pays $500,000 annually per cask into the RDA for its Prairie Island plant. They also pay $350,000 annually for each cask stored at the Monticello plant. In sum, Xcel has paid $327 million into the RDA, and the Prairie Island Indian community has never received any funds or benefited at all from the RDA, despite shouldering the risk associated with the storage of the spent nuclear fuel. Under the proposal before you, Prairie Island will embark on a nation-leading effort to become one of the first tribes in the country to be a net zero energy user. We will offset our total consumed energy with conservation measures and an equal amount of renewable energy generated through projects such as solar and geothermal. To achieve this, we will partner with strong Minnesota companies, including Dakota Electric and Xcel Energy, as well as other entities and experts in the field of renewable and environmentally conscious energy. Right now, I'd like to take this time to introduce Blake Johnson. He's a tribal member and one of our state lobbyists. He will describe in more detail the net zero plan.
Thank you. Welcome.
Madam Chair and committee members, my name is Blake Johnson, like Shelley Buck just mentioned, and I represent my tribe up here at the legislature. And I'd also like to say that the presentation I'm about to go over, I've met with pretty much everyone in this committee on separately. I'd just like to recap and so just keep you guys up to date on where we're at with numbers and what the plan is. All right, so first we start with the net zero energy community. Net zero energy community is one where the total amount of energy consumed is no greater than the amount of renewable energy created. Leading by example, as Native people, we want to protect Mother Earth and the air and water that we breathe and drink. So with this is one way for us to lower our carbon footprint and to save as much energy and preserve the earth as much as possible. Our current state right now, we use 7 megawatts of energy that we purchase through Dakota Electric. With that includes our tribal administration buildings, businesses that include Treasure Island Resort Casino, and our residential homes for our tribal members. Those homes are about 100 homes on reservation right now. So with this grant for $46 million, what we do for our future state is reduce the community's energy by 1 megawatt, so it drops down to 6 megawatts, generate six megawatts of renewable energy through a combination of solar and geothermal technologies, develop microgrids to store the energy while more efficiently managing load peaks and demands, adapt sustainable living standards, and that would be just so that we can make sure that any new building or housing that is built will go by these standards, so that we could stay net zero. We can achieve this by 2022. And there's three phases to this: conservation, generation, and sustaining. The first phase is conservation, implementing the ISO 50001 SB 2030 energy management standards. Those standards are building standards and big fortune company standards that are put in place to make sure that we use as little energy as possible in preserving and following the net zero concept. Energy use audit and energy modeling to develop comprehensive energy plan. So we look into see where those areas are that we use most of the energy and try to make sure we can focus in on preserving as much energy as possible. Upgrading the HVAC infrastructure to more efficient equipment. Replacing the current LED lighting with high efficient LED lighting. Currently right now we have about 20% LED throughout our casino and our hotel. So that'd be huge conservation effort right there. Replacing our vehicle fleet with electric vehicles. With this, we'd run the vehicles to the end date that they are now and then replace them as we need to. And then installing charging stations for these vehicles and also for any employees or any anybody visiting our establishments. And then install an energy management system to efficiently manage our energy loads. This will help in regards to if somebody leaves our casino, our hotel rooms, we can lower the hotel room heat and turn off lights and turn on lights, and then also see if a door is left open, we can manage to tell somebody to shut it. So all these different systems to try to save as much energy as possible. The cost and timeline for this one, conservation total is $10.2 million. We could start on this right away, and we can get moving to save as much energy as possible. As you can see, the 7-year replacement plan for the EV vehicles and charging stations is the one that, like I said, will take time for us to do, but the rest can be done within a year. On to generation. Generating the 6 megawatts of energy that we do need would be over 18 acres. And so a lot of it, there's five megawatts that would be over the parking lot for solar canopy, valet and employee canopy. So with that, our land base is so small that the areas that we could find would not be sustainable because, as you could tell, within the next couple weeks, we're going to be dealing with flooding. We're right on the Mississippi River, and so with that, more than half our land already is underwater from Lock and Dam number three being built in 1938. And so with this flooding coming in, our land base even gets even shorter and smaller. So the best possible place that we found was over the parking lot for the 5 megawatts. It's really close to where most of the energy is going to be used, and it's a good place for us to have it. The other megawatt would be over by the housing developments. So we have two housing developments that aren't as close by that we would put small solar gardens in. And then also Montfrontec Golf Course, and then 31661, we have where we have our senior living facility for our elders and future development for housing. We establish microgrid and battery backups. We also develop water-to-water or water-to-ground geothermal heating and cooling for the community. It all depends on the water level from the Mississippi, if it's deep enough to go water-to-water, or we just go water-to-ground. Cost and timeline. The cost for the generation side is $36 million, and this can be accomplished in 1 to 3 years. Along with the conservation side, we can get this going right away as well. So $36 million for the 6 megawatts of energy over 3 years. Sustaining. Our goal is to protect, as Native people, is to protect the next 7 generations by reducing the carbon footprint and adopting self-sustaining policies. With that, we'd have training and awareness programs for our community and businesses to adopt and implement the environmentally friendly and sustainable practices. Our goal is to make sure this is a community employee are all in on this and making sure that everybody's involved and ready to go. So one thing what we try to do is pass tribal ordinances to make sure that any new housing development that is built will follow along with this and go by the standards so that we can stay net zero. The cost and timeline, there's no cost and timeline. It's always ongoing and always going to be working with this. Project summary. The total cost for this is $46.2 million. Like I said before, we can do this within 1 to 3 years and get going right away. Our community's cost and ongoing commitment, we have to supply project monitoring, service contracts to look over everything and to maintain everything. So everything adds up. Our goal eventually is to allow one of our tribal members go to school to learn this stuff and get the education they need and come back and work for our tribe. With our education, we offer 100% tuition for any tribal member to go to college. So this is our goal, is that, you know, have our community go out and learn as much as possible and come back and help the community. Next steps is we can accomplish most of our plan in the upcoming years, and that is why full funding for our grant request would be required. And that is it, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Swazinski has the first question.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. And this is Mr. Johnson. We talked a little bit about the CAR, so it's going to take about 7 years to kind of filter through those. Will there be grants available, or does this pertain to the individuals? So you've got the 100 homes on the reservation, but individual members, will they be able to have any access to these funds to replace their own vehicle electric from an electric standpoint?
Madam Chair, Representative, so our what we've done on this is just for our employee and our company vehicles. So this only pertains to the company vehicles that we have, but it does not go to our tribal members.
Madam Chair, was there any thought to allowing to some, you know, because we've had other bills to help bide the cost down of electric vehicles, to do that for your individual members?
Madam Chair, Representative, I don't think we've totally thought about the community side. I know we wanted to focus on the business side right away, but that is something that we can definitely look at.
Representative Long.
I thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you so much to the Prairie Island Tribe for presenting such a bold vision for your community, and working to achieve net zero is a great goal, and excited that this is before us. We've had an opportunity to chat a little bit about the proposal. I just had a couple of questions. The first is the on this, the fourth slide, the 7 megawatts. Just curious if you know what the breakdown of energy usage is between the three different categories that you have here, the tribal administration, the business interests, and residential homes.
Madam Chair, Representative, I don't have those with me, but that's something that I can get back to you on. I know we have some document somewhere that shows exactly the numbers, and obviously our business that operates 24/7 takes a lot of energy and is always ongoing. So that is where majority of our power is going to be going towards.
Great. And then for the costs and timelines, when numbers are rounded to the millions, I assume they're fairly rough in terms of what the exact cost is going to be. Do you have any sense for whether there would be some ability to get a little more granularity in terms of what the cost would be of the 5 megawatts or microgrid geothermal things along those lines?
Yeah, Madam Chair, Representative. Yes, that is something that we can get to you as well. I know our process, too, is that for us, if we are able to get these funds, we have a process of bidding out this, and we have a process of at least taking 3 bids. So that's another step into it so that we can get more into detail as well.
Madam Chair, Representative Long, we hired a consultant to help us. Consultant in this field who knows this field and has done these projects before. So they helped us with these numbers, and so they got it as close as they thought it could. But like Blake said, we will be bidding out like we do with everything else. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I have a question. You have recently purchased new lands. I think it's Pine Island. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Yes.
For your buildings there, I'm assuming you're going to build, and maybe that's a wrong assumption, but now assuming you're going to build there, will you be carrying forth the zero footprint there, and are you thinking about some of these funds that could be used there for keeping it at zero?
Madam Chair, the Pine Island purchase is not part of this project. At the time we did this project, we had not purchased Pine Island. Pine Island, we will eventually, when we start building, like part of our commitment is to build any new construction at SB 2030. So that will be part of our thinking down the line. But we haven't built anything down there. We hope to have housing down there for our tribal members, and we will do some of these like conservation and other efforts down there, but these funds are just for the current reservation land that we have. If we wanted to include those lands, we would need much more money because that's a lot more acres down there.
Okay. All right. Are there questions from other members? I don't see. Oh. Yes, if you welcome to the committee, if you would like to join us in asking questions, you're welcome to do that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to make a short comment of support if I could. Thank you, committee members and Madam Chair. And I'm Representative Barb Haley. I represent the district where the Prairie Island Indian community is, and they're one of my constituents. Just want to highlight again that this is really what the RDA funds were intended for. So it's exciting to see, as you said, Representative Long, such a bold and innovative project to use these funds for their original intent. And I also think there's a phenomenal opportunity here for the state and other municipalities and other industries to learn from this as a pilot project. If our goal in the state is to do more with clean energy and net zero, we have an amazing opportunity to learn what that could look like. So I think there's a lot of long-term leverage from this investment. And thank you, Madam Chair, for allowing me the ability to speak in support.
Glad you're here. Thank you for coming. Is there anybody in the audience who would like to testify?
I don't see anyone. With no further discussion, I renew my motion that House File 2126 be laid over for possible inclusion. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and it was a pleasure to be before your committee today.
Thank you.
Next on our agenda is House File 2022, Representative Bierman. And Representative Bierman, why don't we have the testifiers come up with you? Okay. I think there are two. Representative Bierman, there is an author's amendment, A3. Would you like to include your author's amendment or move it?
Yes,
okay.
Please.
First, move the bill and then do your author's amendment.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move my bill HF 2022 and my author's amendment A3.
2022 has been moved for possible inclusion, and the author moves his amendment, which is Amendment A3. All those in favor of the author's amendment say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? The amendment is adopted. So, would you like to now tell us about your bill?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair and Committee. Pleased to present House File 2022. This bill introduces an expansion of electric charging stations to areas of Greater Minnesota by providing for the installation of charging stations within state parks. I speak to many people these days about purchasing electric vehicles. And a major concern in the conversation is often about charging stations. This is a prevalent concern at the car dealerships, too. Demand is certainly curtailed by the concern about our EV charging infrastructure. And expanding the infrastructure to key points of interest in the state, like our state parks, will promote visits and help Minnesota make the comprehensive build-out of charging stations in rural areas. Other bills at the legislature are in the works for public charging venues. Other bills are in the works for promoting EV purchases. As we have learned in this committee, the plan and reach for EV charging stations is slowly expanding. The market for EV vehicles is poised for significant growth, but at what pace? And what more can we do as legislators to encourage it? Businesses have realized that the attraction of charging stations can command is that they'll get people into their parking lots and lock down for an hour or two, and this offers an opportunity for consumers in their stores. Target and Walgreens are leaders in getting customers to plug in. But what about our state parks? This is a natural fit. Eco-minded Minnesota residents also spend time within the park confines, recharging their own bodies with the wellness of healthy air and solitude. And with the distances driven, their EVs will need to plug in and recharge too. Having this resource located within the park will better serve our visitors, and the infrastructure will support our clean energy goals for the transportation sector here in Minnesota. Currently in Minnesota, we have only four parks out of our 67 with EV charging stations. This bill will not fund all of them throughout the state, but will provide a good start. More charging stations will lead to more people investing in electric vehicles. More electric vehicles will also lead to more charging stations. Both of those will help lead us to cleaner air and less emissions. I ask for your support for House File 2022, and I have a couple testifiers here to contribute as well.
Thank you. If you put your name on the record.
Madam Chair, representatives, my name is Jukka Kukkonen, and my company is Plug and Connect. I work as an EV market consultant here in Minnesota, and in our family we have driven electric for the last 7 years and close to 100,000 miles. I also coordinate the Minnesota Plug-in Vehicle Owners Circle, where we have over 1,500 members. Based on my own, my wife's, and our group members' experiences over the years, I can tell you that electric cars are great. On the societal level, EVs also drastically reduce the overall emissions, our reliance on imported oil, and increase the beneficial utilization of electric grid. So they are win-win-win all around. I will share with you some perspectives from EV drivers on the impacts of HF 2022. In general, over 80% of the charging happens at home, so that'll be the main location for charging. You just plug in your car when you arrive at home after work and unplug it in the morning. That is the easiest and most affordable way to power your driving. While most of the power flows through home charging, there's still need for public charging. There are some bills, as mentioned, introduced that will dedicate funding for building a DC fast charging infrastructure along the highway corridors, which will enable longer trips with electric cars. HF 2022, on the other hand, provides moderate funding for a function that is called destination charging. This kind of charging will enable people to drive more electric miles and also encourage them to use park and ride facilities and outdoor parks. And here's how it works in real life. For the 25 models that we have available in Minnesota right now, the plug-in vehicle electric models, seven of them are full electric and that have at least 151 miles of electric range. But the majority of them, 18, are plug-in hybrids. The good thing about plug-in hybrids is that they don't have any range limitation because they can drive hundreds of miles on hybrid mode after the battery is depleted. But the downside, of course, is that the electric range is only 14 to 53 miles. So destination charging is especially valuable for plug-in hybrid drivers because of the shorter electric range. Let's say that you own a Ford Fusion Energy that gets a little over 20 miles of range. If during the week you drive 15 miles to park and ride facility when you go to work, you really appreciate the charging station that so you can stay electric when you drive home too. The same thing happens when you drive during the weekend to a park and enjoy the outdoors. The charging station there enables you to drive home on electric. In addition to boosting miles driven on electric in Minnesota, this charging infrastructure provides promotional value too. For example, I know that nowadays choose the hotels where I stay by looking at which ones offer charging for me. The same way when considering other activities, I might look at the charging station map and see where the charging stations are available. By installing these charging stations, these locations will get a pin on the location maps that are very highly used by electric vehicle owners. In 2017, Great River Energy launched Plug-in to MN campaign to drive awareness around places, experiences, and adventures that are possible for electric vehicle owners thanks to the expansion of charging stations around the states. HF 2022 further expands charging network by adding more locations and increasing the number of miles driven on electric. Thank you.
Thank you. If your next testifier.
Good morning, Madam Chair. My name is Phil Leversedge. I'm the Deputy Director of the Department of Natural Resources Division of Parks and Trails. Happy to be here to support this bill. And primarily, I'm here to help answer questions, but I can give a little bit of background about what we currently have in state parks. As Representative Bierman mentioned, there are four state parks that currently have vehicle charging stations. They were each put in through partnerships with the local utilities. Two are on the North Shore, one at Gooseberry Falls and one at Tattagoosh, in conjunction with the MnDOT Highway Rest Area. And MnDOT was also a partner in those projects. The third is at Fort Snelling, which is also the only one that's within the Twin Cities metro area. And our most recent installation is at Big Bog State Recreation Area, which is in northwest Minnesota, northeast of Bemidji, near Washkish, and that was put in a partnership with Beltrami Electric. The unique thing about the most recent installation is that that one is put in with customer pay capabilities so that the utility company bills directly through to the customer through a credit card purchase at that site. The current proposal would allow us to expand our vehicle charging stations to several more state parks. In the bill, it limits the expenditure of the funds to parks just within XL Energy's service area. There are 10 state parks that purchase their energy from XL Energy. There are four along the St. Croix River, or five along the St. Croix River, Wild River, Interstate, William O'Brien, and Afton. And then three just south of the Twin Cities, Frontenac State Park, Nurse Strand Big Woods State Park, and Cicada Lake State Park. And then two additional out in southwest Minnesota, Lake Chautauqua in Murray County, and Split Rock Creek in Pipestone County. And then, of course, Fort Snelling State Park is within XL's service area, and we could potentially expand the vehicle charging options at that location. We'd like to continue to work with Representative Bierman to improve the bill and to possibly consider allowing us to look at installing charging stations on our more popular state trailheads as well, where people are often going to go out for, you know, an hour to 2 hour either bike ride or hike or other activities on the state trail. And it may make sense to have destination charging in some of those more popular locations as well. And if the bill would allow, we would also consider putting installing charging stations to service an expanding DNR fleet of electric vehicles. That's one of the things we're trying to do to drive down our energy costs and to have more green energy, is to convert some of our vehicle fleet to electric.
Thank you for that. Are there questions before we take the next amendments? I don't see any questions right now. There is an amendment A2 and an amendment A1. Are there folks who want to offer either of those?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to offer the A2 amendment, if that's one you prefer first.
Okay. Representative Straczynski, would you like to, you've moved the A2 amendment, and would you just like to explain it and see what the author thinks?
Certainly. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to offer the A2 amendment before the committee on House File 2022. This would limit the program to parks actually served by XL Energy for electricity rather than merely situated in the XL Energy footprint. Now, this is clarifying amendment because I don't believe there's any need for XL Energy ratepayers to be used to fund additional sales for other utilities. So essentially, you know, looking at the math, it seems like some of them are partially covered, and this would just clarify that just because part of the park is in the territory, that the actual electricity moving through would be consumed and used. So,
Representative Bierman.
Madam Chair, I consider it a friendly amendment to the bill.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
As I read the amendment, by deleting the words electric service, this could be interpreted to mean XL's natural gas territory. XL serves natural gas in a lot of cities where it doesn't serve electricity.
Would council make a suggestion for an amendment that might help Representative Straczynski?
I may need a few minutes to do that, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, I'd be willing to offer up the A1 waiting for the...
Okay. Representative Straczynski offers the A1 amendment. And would you like to explain that to us?
Yes, Madam Chair, members. So this would prohibit the sale of self-generated electricity to consumers through the XL ratepayer. In conjunction with Representative's bill, appears that the state parks could potentially be seeking to sell their own electricity through these, and this would just guarantee that the electricity actually being sold through the XL ratepayers charging stations, which they which they're funding, essentially, would be actually their electricity. So kind of along the same lines of the other, but just making sure that it's not self-generated electricity that's going through these, that it's actual XL energy going through these. So,
Representative Bierman.
Madam Chair, I suggest we accept that amendment as well.
Okay. Any discussion? I don't see any. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? The amendment is adopted. I think we will need to give council a few more minutes here. Are there questions Representative Swazinski. We'll just take a little pause here before we go on.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I have a suggestion with respect to the A2 amendment. On line 1.3 of the amendment, where it currently says serve by the, after serve, insert serve with electricity by the, and the same change to be made on line 1.5 of the A2 amendment.
Representative Swazinski, does that work for you?
Yes, Madam Chair. I think that makes a little bit more clarification that we obviously, with those different territories with gas and electric, that makes sense of what we're trying to do.
Okay.
I move the oral amendment. I move the oral amendment.
You will move the oral amendment? Okay. Do people understand the amendment?
Mr. Eloff.
And what are the author, okay?
Madam Chair, yes, I think that's a good change and accept. Thank you.
All right, we will vote on it, though. All those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
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 Any opposition? The amendment is adopted, and thank you. That was A2. And now we're going, that's the amendment. We put amendment in the amendment now. All those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
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 Any opposition? The amendment itself is adopted. Are there other questions or discussion here? I don't see any. Thank you, Representative Bierman.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee.
Okay. Right. Representative Bierman renews his motion that House File 2022 be laid over for possible inclusion. All right, next we have up Representative Christensen at 2358. Welcome. Would you like to move that House File 2358 be laid over?
Yes, I'd like to move, Madam Chair.
Okay. And you have 2358 has been moved to be laid over, and you have an amendment, an author's amendment, and what that is A1?
Yes, I'd like to move, please, the A1 amendment.
Okay. All those in favor of the author's amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? The amendment is adopted. All right. Representative Christensen, let's talk about your bill.
Okay, well, thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members. I'm happy to have followed Representative Bierman and his talking points about the state parks. You know, I think the state parks are a likely place that we could really work hard to work toward 100% renewable energy there. So we know that climate change is a threat, and we are expected to take action in this committee and in Minnesota. When we can show that the state is leading the way in renewable energy, we're showing them that action is possible. Minnesota's parks are a perfect place for us to demonstrate that we care about climate change in the future. I have here with me Phil Leversedge, the Deputy Director for Parks and Trails with the DNR. And he will be able to answer more questions and enlighten us a little bit about the bill, about HF2358. Thank you.
Madam Chair, members, again, for the record, my name is Phil Leversedge, Deputy Director of the Division of Parks and Trails with the DNR. Happy to be here to support this bill by Representative Christensen. We've had some conversation over recent days to talk about what this bill could mean for expanding solar electric generation in our parks. So I'll give you a little bit of background and again mention that this bill would apply to the same 10 parks that I mentioned in the last testimony. Currently, DNR generates about 605 kilowatts of renewable energy across our system. A significant amount of that is generated within our state parks. Within the XL Energy service area, in these 10 parks that are part of the proposal, we're currently generating about 100 kilowatts of power in six of the 10 parks. That accounts for about 15 to 18% of the electricity consumed in those parks. This bill would allow us to approach almost complete offset of electrical generation if it was fully implemented by adding approximately 500 kilowatt capacity to our generation. One of the challenges for us in state parks as far as generating with solar energy is finding the appropriate sites that are respectful of the natural resource and cultural resource concerns, and also of just the geography of the parks. For instance, Interstate State Park, one of the parks in this project, is a very small unit, largely wooded, right on the St. Croix Wild and Scenic River. It might be difficult to find a place to generate the electricity to offset, or the power to offset all of the electricity there. So what we would like to do is continue to work with the author and others to see if there is a way to have net metering across these units so that we could look at total energy consumption within XL's energy system and maybe offset it at sites where we have more physical space to develop a larger array than we can in some of our smaller units. We'd also like to talk about the issue of the renewable energy credits, and one of our mandates, of course, is to increase our green energy to meet governor's mandates for state agencies to reduce energy load and reduction of greenhouse gases. By us retaining the renewable energy credits, we would be able to show that state agencies are making progress to that end, and it would also incrementally increase the overall energy generation by XL, because they would still be meeting their mandates through other means. So we support the bill. We'd like to continue to work on some possible improvements if we can, but we feel that we could fully implement this if the bill moves forward.
Thank you. Representative Swazinski, I think you have a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is an intriguing bill. Mr.
Leversedge.
Leversedge, sorry. Everyone screws my name up, so I get to screw somebody up once in a while.
I'm used to it.
I'm just kind of looking from a historical standpoint with solar generation on public land. So we've got probably, 25 to 30,000 acres of solar potentially moving into the state. How much of that solar has been permitted onto DNR-owned lands?
Madam Chair, Representative Swazinski, and I hope I pronounced that right. As I said, we currently have about 675 kilowatt hours of power that we generate. I'm not aware of any permitting on DNR-owned lands for outside generation, but I can follow up and see if there have been any permits. I know in some of our conversations there's talk about the potential for electric generation leases on some state lands, but I don't know if we've executed any.
Madam Chair, I would just, rather than these industries going out and taking land out of the public use, I would say that we should absolutely be pursuing placing the installations at an industrial level on state-owned lands. I think that's an excellent foothold, and I'd be happy to work with you on utilizing currently state-owned land to install solar farms. So,
Representative Swazinski, I see two more amendments. Yes. Is anybody going to offer? Representative Swazinski.
Madam Chair, I'll claim the A2 and the A3 amendment. Okay. I'd like to offer the A2 amendment for House File 2358 before the committee, but I'd like to offer an oral amendment to that amendment. Is that be possible?
I think so.
So with the wisdom of Mr. Eloff, in the last bill that we had, I'd like to insert on line 1.12, behind served by the electricity, just as the same way that we did that in the last amendment, to make it kind of clarifying the way we'd like. I ask for your support.
Let me just check with council on that. And council says that works. So to the author.
Thank you. I accept the amendment, both amendments.
Okay. So we have the amendment to the amendment first. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposition? The amendment to the amendment passes. Now it's the amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposition? That, too, has been now adopted. Now we have an A3 amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A3 amendment, I'd like to move the A3 amendment before the committee for House File 2358. And this amendment simply would include solar thermal energy. I believe Representative I was trying to remember an old conversation. But, yes, we talked about solar thermal technology and its importance in the state. We give the DNR some more flexibility when integrating some of these practices into their facilities. So I'd ask for your support.
To the author.
I accept the amendment.
Okay. Members, we will need to vote on that. All those in favor of A3 say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? The amendment is adopted. Now we have the full bill as amended before us. Are there questions or other discussion from members of the audience? I don't see any. Seeing no further discussion, Representative Christensen renews her motion that House File 2358 be laid over for possible inclusion. And with that, members, I don't see any other business.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members.